one other passage. All they that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 100,000 and 57,600. They shall go hindmost with their standards. You know, my first pastorate was a little church in the country. 19 members, and you know all about it. But downtown, in a little city of 3,000 people nearby, was the big church. It was the church that was the big one. Why, they had over 100 in a Sunday school. And I can recall passing by that First Baptist Church of Bogota, Texas, on our way to the Morris Chapel Baptist Church out in the country, and thinking about that's the big church downtown. The second church I pastored was outside in the country, outside of Marshall, Texas, the town where the tragic train crash took place yesterday morning. In fact, that train crashed just within a stone's throw of numbers of people who are members of the church where I used to pastor. But we were out in the country. We were out where we had septic tanks and out beyond the conveniences. A country church, small church out in the country. Downtown in Marshall was the big First Baptist Church. It was the big one. And I used to think about those affluent people that lived downtown, went to the big church downtown. And you fellows on the front now, wake up and listen to me. If you can't stay awake, I want you to go back in the back and stand. Now, I don't want you sleeping on the front row now anymore, ever. I used to drive by the big church downtown. That's where the people were who had businesses. That's where the folks were who were older. We had a bunch of young couples out in our church, and I was only about 21, 22 years of age. And I used to drive by the church downtown. I used to wonder how if they were snobbish in the big church downtown. Third church I pastored was the Southside Baptist Church of Henderson, Texas, church at the edge of town. Now, right downtown, across from the main square, was the First Baptist Church. It was the big church downtown. Now, the riffraff settled at the edge of town. But downtown, the big church, was the First Baptist Church. I went to Garland, Texas. My fourth church was the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. And once again, we were the church at a neighborhood church, not out in the country, not at the edge of town, but not downtown. There's a big church downtown where all the doctors and lawyers went, and the mayor was a member down there, and we were out the edge of town. We're the church. I've always in years gone by pastored that kind of church. You know, the Berean Baptist or the Maranatha Baptist or the that had a sign on the out there in front said the premillennial, fundamental, temperamental, and all you've seen the sign out in front, and the word Baptist spelled B-A-B-T-I-S-T. And now I'm pastor of the church downtown. And yet, I'm never going to leave the people out the edge of town. I'm never going to do it. I'm going to fight the tendency for the big downtown church to become affluent as long as I've got breath to preach and strength to work and to serve. I'm going to be the defender for the hindmost. I'm talking about the Morris Chapel people. They made me what I am, if I'm anything. The other day, I told the Lord, I'd like to take some time off. I'd like to take a trip to the Morris Chapel Baptist Church. It's defunct now. It's been disbanded for years. They've all gone downtown. Nobody lives out there anymore. I'd like to find those people and get them together. And I'd like to go from there to the Grange Hall Baptist Church outside Marshall, Texas, and gather all those dear people there. I walked down my mind down the road last night. I'd like to get the Mundans, and the McGeorges and the Trenches and the Furs and the Smokes and the others. Get them all together. And then I like to go down Southside Baptist Church of Henderson, Texas, where I wasn't pastor for long, and get those folks together. Now I like to go get all the people together in Garland I used to pastor. And I'd like to apologize to them. I'd like to tell them something like this. I wish I could have known then what I know now. I wish I could have given you then what I have to give now. Sometimes, I want you to hear me now. I'm not preaching this morning. I'm just pouring my soul out to you for a minute. I sometimes wonder, and I mean this, I sometimes wonder if maybe a younger man here couldn't reach the young people better than I can. I sometimes wonder if maybe a younger man couldn't come in and rally the teenagers and the high schoolers better. And I always come back to this. Maybe he could, but he couldn't love them like I do. He couldn't care like I care. There's something that comes with the years that nothing else will give. Nothing else. You know, God said to Israel, don't forget the hindmost people. He said, remember how the Amalekites came? And they slipped up behind. You see, those of us who are in the foremost, we march forward. We have no eyes in the back of our heads. We can't see the folks back there. You know, if somebody in this church who's in the foremost, if John Olson or Al Gomez or Dr. Evans, if they dropped off, we'd all know it. And it'd be the lamentation of our hearts because they're in the forefront. And yet the tragic thing is, people back in the hindmost can drop off, and we don't even know they dropped off. That breaks my heart. I mean, to think that somebody who's not in the limelight, somebody we can't see out in front, they're in the back, and they just drop off. And the sad thing is, they drop off, and most of us, we don't care. We don't lament. Say, what a pity. That little bus kid, he dropped off. And I mean to say this now, and I'm not trying to minimize John Olson, Al Gomez, Dr. Evans, but in the sight of God Almighty, in the sight of your pastor this morning, that little bus kid is just as important as any of those three names I just mentioned a while ago. I mean, they're in the hindmost. But listen, Jesus died for the hindmost as much as he died for the foremost. You know, a lot of us here in this church this morning have been here for years. This is our church. We feel at home here. We're here when our kids were born. Many of you this morning in this room, you were a baby in the nursery of this church. There are many married people who are parents this morning and important people in this church who at one time you were in the nursery of the church. I mean, you've been here. I want to say this, folks. This is a big church and their people just came last week. And they're not in the forefront. They're not the foremost people. They're the hindmost people. And I don't think you understand this, but you have no idea. You have no idea how big this church looks to a newcomer. That's normal for you. You've been here for years. I mean, this is what you've seen all these years, but a person just came. You have no idea the hindmost person who just came. And ladies and gentlemen, he needs our attention. I mean, we're so busy watching foremost and going forward. If we don't watch out, the new fella, he'll drop off. We won't even know he left. And I want to plead for him this morning. Jesus loves him too. And Christ died for him just as much as he did for the foremost people. I'm not minimizing important people. I'm not minimizing the folks on this platform and the men that serve as deacons and our Sunday school teachers. God knows I'm not. Every time I preach like this, some Pharisee will say, well, what about us? What about us? You're one of the hindmost, too, if that's your attitude. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that when Jesus stood to speak his first sermon in Luke chapter 4, he didn't say the Spirit of the Lord God was upon me because it anointed me to preach the gospel to the rich. He didn't say that. He said the poor.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen to Him as He spoke. He quoted Isaiah 61, and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus didn't say, I'm here today to preach to the foremost. He said, I've come to preach to the hindmost people. Listen to me. Listen to me. Remember when you were in the country? You remember when you were the hindmost? You'd be surprised, folks. You'd be surprised if you knew that the crowd... Listen now. Hey, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Listen. Everybody listen. You'd be surprised. The crowd that you to whom you used to look and think of them as snobs. You're one of them. You are there. You don't feel like you're there because it happens so gradually. But you're there. Look. I'm the downtown preacher, Doc. I have the job that the fella used to have. And I know why, how we fell. And that's one reason why God will help me. I'll never, as long as I live, be anything but kind to a small preacher, if there's such a thing as that. And I'll never do anything but what I can to help those. Listen, I mean this with all my soul this morning. I don't want to be what I used to think the fella was downtown. Before I become what he was, I want to leave and get out in the country somewhere and get me a brush arbor and get me some sawdust and build me a brush arbor or a tent and get out where I used to be. And I'll tell you something, folks. If we don't watch out, we will be the snob church we used to criticize downtown. I want to speak this morning on behalf of the hindmost, the new ones. I also want to stand this morning, if I can, and I want to speak in defense of the baby Christian. Brethren, there's no way to describe the distance it appears to be between the baby Christian and where we are. And we have, you to us, we don't think of ourselves as being great Christians or mature in the Lord. But look, it just looks farther from the bottom looking up than it does the top looking down. Yeah, listen. It's discouraging for a baby Christian to come. Look, he just got drunk night before last and got saved last night. I mean, he just was taking dope last week. He's a little baby, like an infant. If somehow we'd treat the baby Christians like St. Margaret's Hospital does the newborn babies, we wouldn't lose all the hindmost people. You guys that have been up there in the waiting room, you know what I'm talking about. They don't give you any attention. That little stinking baby. And your wife don't give you attention either. That cute little baby. Well, you got as much hair as a baby's got. Exactly as much. I mean, the truth is, they take that little baby in, and nobody can come in there. And you got to come and hold your little sign up. And if you come where they are, you got to put a mask over your face. And every care is taken. Listen, we wouldn't lose those in the hindmost if we cared as much about newborn babes in God's family as we do about newborn babes in our families. I'm speaking of the hindmost. Look, it's just a long ways from where that new Christian is to where he thinks you are. Now, he doesn't know what you are. I know where you are. It's not very far. But he thinks it's a long ways. And if you don't watch out, he'll get discouraged. I can't make it. I'm not worthy to come here. I can't pray like they pray. I don't know my Bible. How will I ever know the Bible like that? I never will. Listen, we've got to realize that back behind us, there are some little babies. Before we know it, they'll drop off. And we'll lose them because we have forgotten the hindmost. And we've become the snobs. And I want to say this. I don't mean to be unkind. I love this church with all my heart, but I tell you what, some people in this room have become the big downtown church snobs. We haven't got time for new babies. We haven't got time for bus kids. We haven't got time for common folks. We haven't got time for ragamuffins. We haven't got time for barefoot people. We're too busy with our life. Listen,
The cars we drive, folks, are cars that rich folks drive. The houses we live in are houses that rich folks live in. The clothes we wear, listen, you have no idea in this world what young people that sit in this section over here on tonight will think about what I've got on this morning. They'll never own anything like this. I'd like to speak this morning on behalf of those that are poorer. Folks, listen to me a minute. Now, hear me. You don't think of yourself as being rich, but I tell you what, there are a heap of folks think of you as being rich. Rich. Dr. Evans, can you recall what the college president used to be in your mind? Do you understand that you are now, to young people, what that president used to be to you? Did you know that? You don't feel like it. He didn't feel like it then. But I'm saying, you look to the bottom and you look up. It's a long, long look, and somebody's got to stop and pat the head of the guy who's in the hindmost, and somebody's got to shake the hand of the fella in the hindmost, and somebody's got to encourage the fella in the hindmost, and somebody's got to feed the fella in the hindmost, and somebody's got to clothe the fella in the hindmost. And I will not be associated with the church. Becomes a typical. Just last week, my heart broke. Absolutely into. One of the finest preachers I know in America, a dear friend of mine, came out in his church bulletin or a newspaper and said, he's dropping the bus ministry now. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. He don't give a hoot about the hindmost. And brother, listen, if you don't care about the hindmost, God won't give you the foremost. He won't do it. You remember, before you ever went to college, what college graduates look like to you? He's been to college. He has. Yeah. But now we're there, many of us. I want to say something this morning. We have folks in this room that can't write their names. That's the truth. And can't read the morning paper. They're lucky to take the local paper. And we got folks that can't read morning paper and can't write their name. But as far as God's concerned, they're just as important as your Ph.D. I mean, God says, well, listen, show me one place in the Bible where God says, check up on the foremost and see how they're doing. Doesn't say that. But four times in this Bible, God says, don't forget the hindmost. There are folks back there who are weak, can't keep up. There are folks back there who are feeble, they can't keep up. There's folks back there Who are beat. They're just beat. They can't keep up. God said, don't forget the hindmost. He's saying they're important too. They need most help. And they're as much a part as anybody. Be patient with them. And God told us in Luke chapter 14, verse 21, to go out and carry the gospel. Him and now. I want every teenager to hear me too. I'm preaching to everybody. You know what we have? We have in Hammond Baptist Schools a snob attitude on behalf of many of our students. I wish every high school student and junior high student wake up and listen to me right now for a second. There's nothing as rotten and as damnable in the sight of God Almighty as a student whose dad has a good job, who lives in a good house, and has a good wardrobe, making fun of somebody because she can't afford to wear dresses like you wear. Listen, that is as rotten as the devil. And I stand this morning to say, I've got more respect for that little gal, has one dress, and it's a little shaggy dress, and wears one pair of shoes, got cardboard in the bottom. I've got more respect for her than you kids haven't got enough grace in your soul to help the hindmost. God told us to go to the care of the gospel. He said, go to the highways and hedges. Tell the maimed, crippled, the halt, the blind. He said, get the hindmost. Get the hindmost. Why? I tell you why. Because they're the ones you don't see. You listen. If Mr. Lively got drunk this afternoon, and if anybody has a right to get drunk, it's a principle. If there's any one of our principals I think will do it someday, it's Lively. I mean, if he got drunk, he's in the foremost. We'll see him.
And I'll call him in, and I said, Lynn, good night. What happened? And Lynn says, Preacher, it's Boyd. I mean, it's Bogle. He's driving me nuts. But Bogle will drive anybody nuts. Nobody teaches sciences right with God. Nobody. I don't care if it's a Ph.D. in the college. Anyway, listen, we'd all go, wouldn't we? Why? He's in the foremost. Kids would be crying. Not surprised, but crying. Teachers wouldn't believe it. The talk of the church. Did you hear that old Lively? He got drunk. Why? He's in the foremost. But the tragedy is this. There are people all over this building who don't have an education like Lively. They don't have clothes like Lively. They don't have a nice house like Lively. They don't have a nice car like Lively. And they can get drunk and fall by the wayside. And nobody cares. What a sin, what a tragedy, and what the pinnacle of snobbery it is. I'm not going to pastor a church that doesn't care about the hindmost. You see, folks, we were the hindmost. Somebody cared about us. Thank God. I wonder how many hindmost people never made it in the church I grew up in. But by the grace of God, somebody cared about this little hindmost boy and came back and kept me up. And now, somebody cared. We grew. And now we are foremost. And it's rude. It's a sin. For those of us who used to be hindmost that weren't forgotten to the foremost, to when we become the foremost, forget the people that are what we used to be. One time, several years ago, I was a pastor in Texas. Evangelist Joe Boyd and I were sharing a funeral service together. He was pastor then, Texas. It's been about 27 years ago. Joe and I hadn't seen each other very much lately, and we grew up in the same neighborhood, and we were so glad to get to be together. And we got in my car. We were the sixth car in the processional. We had to drive 40 miles up a highway to get to the cemetery. I was driving. Old Joe started talking. I started talking. He listened. I listened. I passed the car in front of me. He forgot where he was. I forgot where we were. I passed the next car. Then we kept on talking past the next car, then the next, and the next. So finally, we were the head car. We didn't know where we were going. Just busy talking. About 40 miles up the road. I said, Joe, where are we going? He said, we were going to a funeral. Listen, we had that processional strung out all over Texas. And we didn't know where the cemetery was, the country cemetery, out of country road. We know where it was. Took us an hour to find it, and we found it finally, but the hindmost people never found it. You know why? Because we were too busy, our own little clique, to remember there's some hindmost people back there. I watch it Sunday morning after the service. You get with your little group quick as you can, like ants going to a piece of bread. Get your little group. And that's good. But you fellowship. And yet, I watch the hindmost people sometimes as I stand behind this pulpit after the service is over. I watch the hindmost people sort of looking awkward and acting like they're not embarrassed. And yet, they just wish that somebody would stop and realize there's some folks back in the back of processional that don't know how to get there unless those of us who are in the foremost stop to realize there are folks in the hindmost that need our attention. Another night, I left my study. And one night, I talked to a young lady who'd been drunk, teenager. I talked to a lady rearing two teenagers alone on $400 a month. Now, you try that. You try that. You sit here this morning in your luxury. You don't think you have much, and you complain about high prices, and the honest, simple truth is, here's a little lady has two teenagers in high school, and she gets $400 a month, and she's sick and she can't work because of her illness, and she gets $400 a month of Social Security of some kind, and she has two teenage daughters, and they can't dress like your kids can, and they can't have nice shoes and nice clothes and nice coats, and the audacity, the vulgar, wicked audacity for anybody. Look at a young lady like that and say, you're not as good as we are, and make fun of you because you don't wear clothes like we do.
I got more respect for a pimp than I have for that kind of attitude. My heart broke. And that same night, I talked to a young man. He's one of our own young men who's been to the bottom. I mean the bottom. I mean he's been as far down as you can get. And you won't know who he is, but he knows. He's here this morning, I'm sure. I said, son, if I want you to be where I want you to be is a 10. And I said, where you used to be is a 1. I said, where are you now? And he said, preacher, I guess I'm up to a 4. And I said, that's good. He's not a 10, but he's a 4. He was a 1. And I talked to a young lady who has no way to stay in school. I talked to a couple with a wayward child, brokenhearted. I talked to a man who's lived like a beast, who's trying to make a comeback and trying to be a normal, good, clean man. And others, when I got my coat and put it on and went out and got in the car to drive home, tears streaming down my cheeks, and said, I said, dear God, help me to always love the hindmost. The people in this church that don't have what you have, they're folk in this church, they're not what they ought to be, but look, one fellow said, I smoke still, but I quit my drinking. Well, bless God, he's on his way. I'm not going to stop him. He's the hindmost. And I say this, and I say it honestly and sincerely, I need your help. Young people at Hammond Baptist High School, I need your help to love the hindmost people. Junior hires, I need your help. And college students, I need your help. The hindmost. A year or so ago, I went to college and I'd saved some money. And I gave some of the girls, poor girls, enough money to buy a little cheap dress if they went and found them on sale. And they got several letters next week, said, Brother Howe, that's the first dress I ever bought at the store. We don't understand it. You don't understand it, folks. A young man told me, I said, preacher, I know I drink occasionally. I know it, but you don't understand it. You never had a drop of liquor in your life. And preacher, when I was 4 years old, my daddy was giving me whiskey. You don't understand it. In God's name, we're not a bunch of perfect Pharisees here to show ourselves in a spiritual museum so we can marry each other. We're a bunch of sinners saved by grace that used to be in the hindmost. And thank God somebody loved the hindmost. Now we're in the foremost in God's name. Let's go back and get the stragglers and have them catch up with us. Lord saying here, he said, don't forget the hindmost people. If you want to find the child, Jack Hiles, you want to find him. If you want to find the child, Jack Hiles, don't you go to Hammond Baptist Grade School. He's not there. If you want to find the child, Jack Hiles, this morning, don't you go to the beginner department up here in A Sunday School. He's not there. If you want to find the child, Jack Hiles, you go about now over here to the old Seeker building. There's some little boys and girls over there right now that have never owned a pair of shoes that they were bought for them. And never owned a pair of trousers or a shirt that were bought for them. Little girls never owned a dress. If you want to look up the child, Jack Hiles, you'll find him over there this morning, the hindmost. And I want to stand up this morning and say, thanks be to God Almighty that somebody in the Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, weren't so wrapped up in being around the foremost all the time, but they had enough love and compassion for the hindmost. First hamburger I ever ate, I ate it at church. First balloon I ever owned, that was given me in a Sunday school class at church. First little shirt that I ever had that was brand new was given me by somebody at church. The only Thanksgiving dinner we ever had was if the church didn't forget. I love the people in this church who've become affluent. I love the folks in this church who are spiritually mature. I love the people in this church who are the drive-in crowd, who live in nice houses and wear nice clothes. I love you. But I want to serve notice this morning. I also love with all of my heart today those in the hindmost. You want to find a teen Jack Hiles, a teenage Jack Hiles. Don't look in the singing group, you won't find him there. If you want to find the teenage Jack Hiles, don't look to youth activity. He couldn't afford to come. If you want to find the teenage Jack Hiles, don't you look at Hammond Baptist High School. He couldn't have had the tuition. If you want to find the real teenage Jack Hiles, and you want to see what Jack Hiles was as a teenager, you go down there that afternoon, meeting this afternoon, to your center. If you look carefully, you'll see me there. If you want to know what the young Jack Hiles was like, young college student Jack Hiles was like, don't you go to the young man who preaches the best in the college. You go to that little fellow who stutters and sits there and sweats a bucket of perspiration the day he's got to preach in homiletics. Little shy fellow, the kind some of you snobs would make fun of and snicker at. Let me tell you something. I don't care how much, what kind of rags he has on his back. I don't care what kind of leather he has on his feet. And I don't care what kind of woods around him or brick is around him where he lives. I want to serve notice on you that if he is a human being, he was made in the image of God Almighty. And Jesus shed his blood as much for him as he did for you and for me. You want to find the real Jack Hiles. You'll find him back in the back of the college class, wondering if he can ever preach a sermon. You're looking this morning at the hindmost. I mean that. And I will not run off and leave him. I will not. I will not. The day this church becomes a bunch of self-satisfied Pharisees that spends more time looking at the foremost than the hindmost, this church can call you a foremost pastor. You don't have one now. You got a hindmost pastor now. You can call you a foremost pastor. Let him put on his robes and his phylacteries, and let him wear his striped breeches and scissor-tail coat, and let him stand up here with a 17-fold amen and have a formal worship service so all the foremost can realize how foremost we really are. But let me tell you something. When the Master came and walked the shores of Galilee, he gathered around little children that were poor and said, and blessed them. He said, suffer the children, bid them not to come to me, for such is the King of Heaven. Who was the Master spending his time with? A fallen woman at noonday. A man for 38 years been crippled, who said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. The blind man beside the road of Jericho, while all the big folks were there in the parade, the blind man beside the road of Jericho, the little dirty tax collector up the tree trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, the dying thief on the cross. This morning I said two things and I'll quit. Blessed, dear, beloved members of First Baptist Church of Hammond, to whom God has given a house and a car, and the ability and the wherewithal to go down occasionally and buy you a new suit of clothes or a new dress. I want you to remember that you are the material from which snobs are made. You are the material. You know what I long to see? I long to see the Hammond Baptist kids that have getting together and taking up an offering for the kids that have not. I long to see the Hammond Baptist kids that have sharp minds get together and encourage the kid that's a bit slow, educable slow. We got children in our schools. Their IQ is just bad enough for them to keep above their heads above water. And some people have the audacity to make fun of them. I'll tell you, I'd 10,000 times rather have an IQ of 85 this morning and be lovable and kind and gracious than to have an IQ of 175 and not take time for those who are the hindmost. And I want to say this morning, secondly and lastly, to all of those who are the hindmost, Jesus mentioned you more than he mentioned those of us who are the foremost. He mentioned you, the hindmost, those who are educable slow. You're the ones who are the object of his special attention. Those who are poor, you're the ones the object of his special attention. I spend a lot of time at deacons' meetings.
I spend a lot of time at teacher meetings. Spend a lot of time at faculty meetings. But I spend most of my time going to the door and saying, who's next? Who's next? And the one comes in that's next. And sometimes I forget and say, how are things with you? And they'll say, what would I be doing here if things were okay? And they come like an army, the hindmost, the hindmost. Don't run off and leave them. You used to be one of them. Father, teach us the lesson.